Welcome to another series of the SA Cyber Talk. I'm your host, Arvind Gupta. I'm a machine learning researcher at the Emerging Technology Center. And today with me, I have Anusha Sinha. Anusha?
Nice to meet everyone. My name is Anusha. I work at CERT in the Security Automation Directorate, and I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, we're excited to have you. So I heard that from a lot of people, and that's why I have you on the show today, is that you're working on some really cool stuff with NetFlow, clustering NetFlow and trying to figure out whether it came from a human or an autonomous agent. And I know absolutely nothing about NetFlow, and I'm sure a lot of people watching know nothing about NetFlow. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So the idea behind this project was just to be able to attach a label to flows and basically just say whether they were generated by a human or a machine. And one of the primary reasons I started thinking about this was because I went to FlowCon back in January, and I heard a presentation by Jeff Dean where he talked about how human-generated flows typically tend to be like Gaussian bursty in nature. And so for his project, for his PhD, actually, he'd gone through and used traffic on a network where there just weren't very many humans active at the same time. And so he was able to go in and find these Gaussian bursts quite easily because there was no overlapping activity. But I wanted to see if it'd be possible to do this in more of a real world setting where there's many humans that are active on the network at the same time.
So why is this such a big problem, right? Like, what? Are machines that good at generating realistic NetFlow?
So it's not about necessarily the machines generating realistic NetFlow. It's just that there are a lot of automated processes that are going on your computer at any given time. Like, there's all sorts of updates. If you go to CNN.com, it'll automatically reload the page every 30 minutes. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And I guess one of the motivations for having this labeling system would be that it would be a little bit easier for people to go in and identify potential threats to the network because human users tend to have internal access to the network and it would be good for analysts to be able to look at a set of flows and decide that they're human or automata generated.
Gotcha. So that sounds really hard, right? Because as far as I know, NetFlow is just a whole bunch of basically like network capture, like packet capture data or whatever, or maybe it's different.
Yes, so it is packet capture data. And one of the big issues that we've been having is that there's just so much of it. Like we get millions and millions of flows a day.
Okay.
And when you want to cluster millions of flows a day, you need to find a way to do it that's pretty efficient so that ideally, at the end of the day, we would want to be able to add these labels sort of in real time, not theoretically real time,
right,
but as close to real time as possible, just so that we could kind of get the information out to analysts as quickly as possible. And, they're not waiting for days or weeks or months to find out whether some set of flows was produced by humans or automata.
Oh, that makes sense. And so a lot of clustering methods I'm familiar with are like k-means or like some sort of hierarchical clustering methods. What are you proposing that's more efficient or faster or better for this type of data?
Okay, so I've experimented a little bit with k-means and dbScan clustering, and I found that they don't tend to give us great results, or it's hard to really interpret like what the clusters are, because the algorithms will go in and tell you that you have clusters in all these areas of your data, but it's hard to actually know what any of that stands for.
Sure.
So in order to get clusters that kind of correspond to properties that we're interested in, I thought it would be interesting to formulate this as a max flow problem.
Okay.
Because the max flow problem is used kind of along with its dual, which is the min cut problem in a lot of partitioning problems.
Okay.
And so the idea was basically we create a virtual flow network, which is different from NetFlow. And then we use that to basically partition the data as being either human generated or machine generated.
So how does that work? Like, so going back to my algorithms class back in undergrad, like shout out Dr. Vernon. Max flow is basically if I have a source and a sink, and I basically need to figure out how to maximize the flow in any network, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that all edges are being used to their max potential. So how can I use that to basically cluster a graph that is composed of human and machine traffic?
Okay, so just to give you, to start constructing this graph, the first thing that we want to do based on prior research by Jeff Dean, the guy who gave the FlowCon talk, he said we should look at server IPs because the activity over server IPs tends to be this like Gaussian kind of shape when it's produced by humans or human originated. So we basically start by making a bunch of nodes in a graph where each node corresponds to a server IP. And then we make two supernodes. So we have like a human supernode and an autonomous supernode. And they're called supernodes because we have an edge that goes from the human node to every single other server IP node. And same thing with the autonomous node. And then the idea is that we just want to find ways to attach weights to these edges in a way that makes sense, such that we could find a minimum cut or a partitioning through the network that results in a split that we're interested in, and we kind of correspond to human and autonomous activity.
Gotcha. So basically, because of these supernodes, I can get from any point in the network to any other point via the supernode, right?
So actually, I guess I should clarify that the supernodes are kind of the source and the sink.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. And then, so once we have these supernodes set up, we also set up an edge between every pair of internal nodes, like all the server IP nodes. So now we have like these two sets of supernodes with edges going to them on either side of the network. So there's a source and a sink, and then we have all of the internal edges within the network as well. So then now the problem is just how do we assign weights to these edges in a way that's meaningful, right?
Right.
And so to start doing that, we want to take Jeff Dean's idea that these bursts of human activity are Gaussian in nature. So I started by building a Gaussian mixture model for each server IP to basically assign a probability of whether it belongs to some combination of like human generated bursts or if it is very unlikely to belong to any of those bursts.
Sure.
So then for each server IP, you know that it has one edge that goes to the human supernode and one edge that goes to the autonomous supernode. So we assign the edge that's going to the autonomous supernode with the probability that it's gonna be autonomous based on the GMM, and the same thing for the edge that's going to the human supernode. So we basically do that for all of the server IP nodes.
Gotcha. And so, I mean, so this sounds to me like it's probably a more efficient method than k-means for large graphs, right? Because k-means is probably terrible the larger and larger and larger my input size gets, right? But we have, I don't know the research in this world. Mm-hmm. I assume that our max flow methods or graph methods are a lot more well-developed for large graphs than k-means is.
So it's actually not. Unfortunately, the max flow algorithms tend to be polynomial in the number of edges. Okay. And so, as I mentioned before, we have all these internal edges between the server IP nodes. And so those edges, also just to go back real quick, we assign weights to those edges based on the similarity of two server IPs. So you could use all sorts of metrics. You could use, you know, whether they come from the same subnet or whether they're active around the same times to basically assign those weights. But then now we have this problem where if we have like, you know, thousands or millions of IPs that we're interested in, now we have like, you know, that number squared internal edges. And then the max flow algorithm is going to take, you know, some multiple of that that number of edges in order to run. I think it's like the number of edges squared typically is the time you can expect.
Gotcha. So what can you do when you have huge networks like this?
So one of the ideas that I'm really interested in pursuing going forward is looking into spectral sparsification of the graph. So the idea is just that we have a lot more edges than we probably actually need in our network. And so it'd be nice if we could potentially combine some of the edges by basically, you know, if we have three edges between like, you know, a set of nodes, we could kind of maybe combine them in some logical way along with their weights to create like a single edge between like two, like let's say clusters of nodes. One of the interesting parts of doing this is that it vastly reduces the number of edges in our graph. And because all of the max flow and min cut algorithms tend to be polynomial in the number of edges, this would be like a huge speed up for us and allow us to, you know, actually tackle the challenge of millions of flows a day. So when we're going about actually like doing this sparsification, one of the interesting abstractions that I've found is that you can kind of consider the graph in the resistive model of the graph.
Okay.
So it, basically all that means is that so each edge has a weight, right? And so all we want to do is say that the weight corresponds to the conductance of the edge. So the higher the weight, the more conductive it is. And then there's a paper by Spielman and Tang, which we will link below. And they basically go through and say that if you sample the edges in the original graph with a probability proportional to the effective resistance of that edge in the resistive model of the graph, you get a spectral sparsifier. And so basically, I just want to go through and actually implement that, probably using the Johnson-Lindenstrauss embedding to actually calculate the effective resistance for each edge.
I wish I knew as much about graphs as you do. What I do know about it is machine learning. So let me hop back a little bit.
Okay.
And I apologize to the audience. You're probably like trying to build a graph of like where we jump back and forth in the conversation. But what did you expect coming to a graph talk? So you're trying to fit this Gaussian mixture model mm-hmm. onto this data to try and figure out, you know, which cluster it belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do something more interesting like fit a generative model instead, or maybe make the GMM in a generative fashion such that we can actually generate flow from one class or another?
Yeah, I would actually be really interested in doing that because right now, in terms of like kind of validating my results, I'm mostly just going by, well, do we see like spikes of human activity during the day when we would expect to? And do we also see like, you know, spikes of really regular spikes of automated activity like overnight when there shouldn't be any humans active on the network? But it's not really like a great metric to use because it's very hand wavy and wishy washy. So it'd be nice to have some sort of data that we could generate in a specific class to kind of help validate our results.
Well, that's honestly fascinating. I don't think I know as much about graphs as I thought I did before. I feel like I left a bit dumber, but probably for the best reasons.
Hopefully you guys don't feel the same way.
I'll definitely have to go up and look at some of these research that you linked to. If there's probably like one or two things you would recommend the audience to read, what would they be?
So it would be the dissertation by Jeff Dean. It's called A Systematic Assessment of Network Flows, I believe. We'll link it below. And he just does a great job of going into the background of specifically why we're interested in detecting these human users on the network, the work that he's done so far, like why he decided that human activity is kind of Gaussian in nature. And he also gave a really good talk at FlowCon 2019. So if you prefer to see it in kind of a visual presentation, you can go ahead and look that up as well. And then there's two papers, one by Spielman and Tang and one by Spielman and Srivastava, which talk about spectral sparsification using effective resistance. So I'd also check those out if you want a better idea of how that would work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. that's a lot for me right now. I'm sure it's a lot for the audience. But as you guys know already, if you don't, if you guys want more information, feel free to shoot me or Anusha an email. Better yet, just email info@sci.cme.edu. And we hope to see you guys next time. If you guys enjoy what we're talking about and you want to hear more, get notified of each SCSR Product episode by clicking the subscribe button below. Also, if YouTube's not your thing, each episode is also available on the CyberTalks pages on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I never get to do this, but you can also check us out on SoundCloud. So thank you guys, and again, hit the subscribe button below and get notified of every new CyberTalk episode.